That's a performance by the Decatur-based choral ensemble called Opus 24 from their spring concert of 2008, which was given at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur under the direction of Milton Scott, who has been their director for nearly all of the time they've been around since 1992, and as has gotten to be the custom since we started this program, which is called Live and Local, 4.5 years ago now. Once I first heard of Milt's group, he's come over here every time a concert is coming, and a concert is coming tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. It's going to be at the same location, St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur, and I'm very pleased to welcome Milton Scott here back to the show. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you. Always nice to be here.
And this is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. I certainly enjoy hearing the recorded rendition of your group. I have yet to have had the chance myself to drive over and hear it live, but apparently a great many people do drive, well, with Decatur, but I gather from lots of other places too. Do you have a sense of where people come from? You know, how far your reputation has spread?
Well, yes, I have an idea. Our concert attendance is pretty much from Decatur, Macon County, a couple of the counties right around us, because we do have some singers from other places besides Decatur, like Champaign, Shelbyville, Taylorville, Bloomington Normal. So we do get a kind of a fringe from there, but we have a very, very concentrated group, I think, from Decatur and its surrounding little towns, Moroa, Forsyth, and Mount Zion.
Do you, and I know I've asked this many times before, and I'm always amazed by the reply, and yet I don't quite remember it. How many does this particular church seat, and how close to filling it do you get?
Well, generally speaking, the church seats between, comfortably, it's about 550. We have sat a little over 600, especially when we had Jackson Berkey and his wife come a couple years ago. The Christmas concert that season seems to fill up more than the spring. So, but it'll seat 500, 550 comfortably without using the balcony.
So it sounds like a decent-sized church.
It is.
As we could hear right there, wonderful acoustics.
Very good acoustics.
You mentioned Jackson Berkey. I remember, actually, I don't remember if I, did you bring him with
I did.
You? I think so.
I did.
He's with Mannheim Steamroller.
Mannheim Steamroller. Yes, he is. Both he and his wife.
A wonderful name of a group. And I remember it's one of those names that I knew as a name more than I knew actually what that group did. If it even can be called a group.
Well, it is a group, and he actually told me once where they got the name, and of course that was, I've slept since then, so I don't remember, but if you look it up, I think it gives a little history of it, but we've had some great relationships with him, and we did a whole set of his music on our last concert.
And it occurs to me that I failed to say what was the music we just played, Opus 24. Come to the music.
Come to the music. It's a great invitation. It's a wonderful opening piece.
Well, a nice opener for our show, too.
Yes, well, good.
So a good suggestion for that. Joseph Martin, the composer, and it featured some guest instrumentalists here, Piccolo, Laurie Glencross, Steve Shepper on percussion, and then Aaron Villarreal also on percussion?
Yes, yes.
You often, if not always, have guest musicians. I mean, you mentioned the Berkeys who were there, and this concert, no exception.
Well, as you know, being in a university town, it's fun to tap all those resources. And one of those, the flautist, is the faculty professor, Dr. Glencross. Aaron is graduating this year. He was a very fine student there. And Steve Shepper is a horn player. He teaches horn there as an adjunct, but he plays everything. Hmm. He's a retired band director, so he's great and a neighbor and a friend. So if I need an extra percussion or a brass part, why, he's always there. And so I have a real nucleus of people that I can call upon around the town.
Well, and I just got a press release that I haven't read yet. I saw the headline that said that the Millikan University Percussion Ensemble just won some sort of award. I might go get that when we play our next music.
Yeah, I haven't seen that press release, but they are awesome. We go to their fall, sort of their Halloween concert, and it is unbelievable. It's very, very good.
When you said Halloween, I'm thinking percussion. I just pictured, is it Danse Macabre that has the xylophone sounding like clattering bones?
Skeletons. Like dry bones.
Yeah.
Yes, there are. So I'm very fortunate to be able to use that. And I do pay the instrumentalists, and the students really love to play.
Well, sure. And I'm looking at the info for tomorrow night's concert, and just reminding folks we're talking with Milton Scott, who's conductor of Opus 24, the Choral Ensemble in Decatur. And you've got the Millikan University Brass Quintet, which is made up of all faculty members, or is this one not the faculty quartet?
Well, it's not really the true faculty quartet, because Millikan right now does not have an official brass quintet. But four of the members are faculty, and they have played in the quintet before. And sometimes we use Mark Moore from Illinois, but he couldn't play.
The tuba player, professor here.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're using Andy Rummel from ISU, and he's played with us before. And I wanted to call it the university faculty quintet, because they're all at a university, but Randy Raymond, the leader, and said, well, you can call it the Millikan Brass Quintet, you know.
Why not?
So that's what it is. Plus, we have a few other faculty members joining us, too. Tina Nicholson, a professor of oboe. Jason Zimmerman, who is an orchestra director in the city. Adam Blakey, who is a very fine junior woodwind player, sax player, and clarinet. And I think that might be it, plus the brass and piano, of course.
Well, and then you're doing always helps to bring audiences in, which is get children involved.
Exactly. We are, I should mention that. We are using 9 singers from the Millikan Youth Choir program on a piece which I think we should probably talk about eventually today.
Sure.
Which brings them together with us as well.
Well, let's hear another sample of Opus 24 itself. This is from the same concert we heard a bit ago, 2008. And I think the one you suggested is by Bob Chilcott, When the Sun Rises.
When the Sun Rises. It's from a suite of his called I Share Creation. And the texts are one of the texts is by Chief Seattle. One is a psalm text. Another one is by a poet. And it's been a while since I have done these, so I can't exactly quote all the sources. But they are really a wonderful text, and Bob Chilcott puts them together. Actually, we are ending this concert with the last one in that set.
It's called Come to the Great World.
Right, Come to the Great World.
Tell me a little bit, before we hear the music, Bob Chilcott is a name that I recognize in a couple of different contexts as a choir director myself at an Episcopal church. I see his name often as both composer and arranger, so I'm guessing that he's British?
Yes, well, actually, he was a King singer.
Well, that was going to be my second context, yes. That they do a lot of his arrangements.
Right, right. And he's one of the, I mean, you see more of his arrangements as a King singer, I think, than any of the other. Simon Carrington, sometimes you see some of his things too, but he writes a lot of things and really very well. He's written some wonderful Christmas pieces and we like this set a lot.
And for those who don't know, the King's Singers is actually a sextet of men who have, you know, of course, they've been around for many, many years, decades, I'm not
right.
sure.
And shifted personnel in and out through the years.
And so Bob Chilcott was, but isn't with them any longer.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Well, here's music by Bob Chilcott from the set of four, a suite called I Share Creation. This is the opening, When the Sun Rises. It's Opus 24, directed by Milton Scott, here on Live and Local from their concert in the spring of 2008.
When the sun rises, I go to serve.
That music by Bob Chilcott, When the Sun Rises, from his set called I Share Creation. Once again, featuring two percussionists, Aaron Villarreal and Steve Shepper. Opus 24, the name of the choral ensemble, directed by Milton Scott, who is my guest today on Live and Local. Opus 24 will be giving this year's spring concert. That one came from the spring of 2008, so 5 years ago. And this one's going to be tomorrow night at 7:30 at St. Patrick Catholic Church on East El Dorado Street in Decatur. Do you say El Dorado or do you say something
Actually,
else?
Actually, the natives there say El Dorado.
That's what I was afraid
and they,
of.
And they eat cheese toasties as well.
Okay, well,
no grilled
enough.
Cheese.
You never know. I know. I remember when I first moved to Chicago and heard some of the street names. I was a little surprised that what I would call Goethe Street, G-O-E-T-H-E. You know, the name of the writer is Goethe, and Mozart is Mozart, and there's any number of other
and
ones.
Hayden. Don't forget.
Is there a Hayden there in Chicago?
I'm sure there is.
And some of the names of towns that you might think are French pronounced. And of course, here, as somebody who has hosted a classical show for a long time, we try to do things in the foreign way. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The concert tomorrow night, 7:30. I don't remember. You charge for the concerts, right?
We do. Yeah. We have tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for full-time students. We haven't changed that ticket price for almost 8 years. We talk about it every year, but it seems to work for us.
Well, it's a bargain in the first place. Seems to me anyway.
Yeah, we think it is.
Well, I would hope you would think that it is.
Yeah.
By the way, if people want to get tickets, I'll just run down the places they can get them because I'm happen to be looking at it. You can get them if you happen to know somebody who sings in the choir. They'll be happy to sell you a ticket. The Decatur Area Arts Council has them. Thompson Kramer Music. And at a bunch of different churches, Central Christian Church, First Lutheran, First Presbyterian, First United Methodist, Grace United Methodist, St. James Catholic, and, of course, the place where it's going to be performed, St. Patrick Catholic. These are all in Decatur?
They're all in Decatur.
So how do you do that, by the way? As somebody who's often interested in how one markets grassroots or at least local groups, do you just... What's the appeal, do you think, of getting churches to sell tickets?
Well, we have a lot of members in the choir that belong to those churches. Mm. So there's that circle of friendship that happens, you know, within their own churches. It's like a little ripple effect. So the offices there have agreed to sell tickets. Someone who's in that church announces it, just like I do the last 3 weeks, that tickets are available at, in our church office or... Each member has tickets as well, so it's pretty well spread out. And everybody knows where the Decatur Arts Council is as far as Decatur. It's right downtown, and they're gracious to sell them. It's also very easy because they're not reserved seats, so there's no seating charts involved. You know, you buy a ticket, and
that's it. You just walk in the door.
You walk in the door.
Which suggests that if you want to get the seat of your choice, get there early.
Right, and you can also buy tickets at the door as well.
Sure. And since you mentioned that you announced it, I assume that is reference to the choir that you direct, which is at First Lutheran Church.
Yes.
In Decatur. How long have you been doing that?
I'm just finishing my 45th year.
Wow.
As director of music.
What's the size of your choir, just out of curiosity?
Well, it depends. You know, I direct two church choirs. I have the
really?
Wednesday choir and those that show up on Sunday. So those are my two choirs. But usually it's very consistent. I have a very good church choir, but it's not big. I mean, if I have 15 or 18, it's a big festival Sunday. But they're very musical, very balanced. I have a couple of students from Millikan in them and a couple of experienced singers. And so that's one reason we get to do a lot of different things. And I've even taken some of our simpler opus music and given it to them, and they love doing that kind of thing too. So.
Well, I actually wanted to ask you, I mean, since you mentioned a choir, you know, a church choir, whether you approach the two groups differently, if you can, you know, if you're even comfortable talking about that, you know, between
I do.
The how many in the Opus 24?
Well, I'm singing 32 this particular concert.
So maybe close to double the size.
Yeah. It's interesting you ask that because I did have a woman in my church choir once raise the question during rehearsal. She said, "We wish that you would do with us is what you do with Opus."
Mm.
And I said, well,
what does she mean by that?
Well, it's kind of what I asked.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I talk about tone and we do seating. And I said, the other thing is that they are there almost every rehearsal. And so I don't have to do a lot of repeating.
They meaning the Opus 24. Yeah.
Opus 24. Mm. And I said, I try to do the same things, but I also, they're on an auditioned group, and my church choir is not, as most church choirs are not auditioned.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to do the same things, and this particular spring, we've done a number of a cappella pieces, which they just love. It's challenging, and
The church choir.
The church choir. And then Opus also loves to sing a cappella. So I've tried to approach them sort of it's almost a miniature way. Same concepts, maybe approach it a little bit differently with them because there aren't so many experienced musicians in the church choir as there are in Opus.
What's choir night in Decatur?
Well,
is there sort of a regular choir night?
Wednesday night and Thursday nights are the choir nights. And when I started teaching, it was Thursday night. Then it got changed kind of universally to Wednesday night. And so for us, it's Wednesday night, as are quite a few of them.
Yeah, I mean, this is another topic that is sort of neither here nor there, but as a church choir director, I'm always interested in this. But when I lived in Chicago, I didn't direct a choir. Well, I did for a while, but I was involved in some. And it seemed that somehow throughout the massive city of Chicago, everybody converged on Thursday night. That was Thursday night was church choir night in Chicago, and here in Champaign-Urbana, it also seems to be Wednesday. And I always wonder who decides these things.
Well, that's a very good question. But when I taught, we always had conflicts, and we had decrees from above that we should not schedule things on Wednesday nights, or earlier it was Thursday nights because that was church choir night. Well,
maybe that's sort of a good way for communities to get together and avoid conflicts if everybody knows that that's happening there.
And that's one reason I have my concerts on Tuesdays rather than weekends, because Opus knows that Tuesday is Opus night. So I have my concerts on Tuesday nights.
The night they're used to being there.
Yeah, and it seems to work out very well.
Which suggests then that you have just a once-a-week rehearsal.
Right, seven to nine. Mm-hmm. And I very seldom have extra rehearsals.
They probably appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I do too.
and you give typically just two concerts a year, right?
Generally two concerts a year, late November and the Tuesday after Mother's Day, usually. Sometimes we will sing with the Millikan Symphony. That might be every other year or every 2 years. Or we will be invited to sing at some other occasion, state convention or a gathering of something. So, but generally two public concerts.
So when you do the late November concert, that sort of gives you license to not call it a Christmas concert, which
right.
is how you can manage to have some music by Richard Carpenter of The Carpenters
the
from
Carpenters,
way back when.
Right.
On,
right.
on the most recent one.
Yes, we did. This last year, the last concert, we did a piece called The Crescent Noon, a Richard Carpenter tune. And I have done this tune for many, many years, even when I had a really good high school group. And I wanted the choir to experience a few different kinds of things that we didn't struggle with. And this one was very melodic, and it's one of my favorite tunes. It came actually from California back in the 70s.
Is this a song that the Carpenters sang?
Yes, it's actually on one of their albums, Richard and Karen. And, of course, Karen was the drummer, and Richard was vocalist and keyboard. And I was first introduced to it when the Millikan Choir came back from California in 1973. My wife was on that tour.
He's looking at his wife
yes,
in
I'm
the studio
for,
here.
I'm looking for a cue here.
She's not saying anything with confidence.
No. Nor am I. Yeah. So.
Well, let's give a listen, and I'll be interested to hear if I recognize it because, you know, my sister and I in particular used to have bunch of Carpenters records, and there's a certain age where you didn't admit that.
That's correct.
Mostly when you were in high school, or no, especially when you went to college, you didn't admit that you ever listened to the Carpenters or John Denver or Barry Manilow. I think we're sort
that's
of...
too bad. Those are three of my favorites.
It's called Crescent Noon by Richard Carpenter and sung here by Opus 24 from the fall choral concert that they gave last November at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Decatur.
Let's
Well, I have to say I didn't recognize that song. I was curious to know if I would. It was by Richard Carpenter called Crescent Noon, sung here by Opus 24, Milton Scott conducting, with Beth Creighton as the accompanist. This came from their concert last November the 27th, which was at a new location for you all, I think, Milt, St. Paul's Lutheran Church.
Yes, we went there mainly because it holds a lot of people, but our other place that we usually perform at, St. Pat's, was not available on that particular date. So I went out and it's a redone church. It used to be a warehouse-office of the Backrack Company.
Hmm.
And so they made a big sanctuary. And so we sang that particular concert there. It was very well attended. And actually, in working with them, picked up a couple of singers from that church. So that was kind of fortuitous that all those contacts helped with that. So now we're back, at least for this concert, back to St. Pat's.
St. Patrick's Church.
Yeah.
Milt Scott is my guest here on Live and Local. Here on FM 90.9, I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Milton, you happened to mention to me just as we started to play that last music that some of the people who are in your group now sang that with you when you were directing high school?
Right. Those I have several adults that sang with me in the mid-70s at Eisenhower High School and now, and have sung all their lives and are currently singing with me, which is a lot of fun. I know the first rehearsal we had when they came in together and realized they were both in Opus. I mean, the first 10 minutes was just, let's talk about high school again and where have we been and all of this. And they still love to sing. So,
was this the case where you said they've sung all their lives? Does that mean that they haven't sung all their lives with you?
No, not all their lives with me. I mean, once they left high school and went on to college or whatever, they're singing in their church choir or they've sung solos for weddings or funerals or they're in different communities. And then they've just come back, and this was another opportunity for them to sing in a choir that was a little bit different than their church choir, perhaps, hopefully. Another experience because they love to sing. And then through that, they'll say, well, you know, my husband sings or my wife sings. Well, bring him in and let me listen to them. So we have several couples like that, which is really a benefit.
This is perhaps an awkward question to ask. Well, it's not an awkward question to ask. It might be an awkward question to answer.
Okay.
Answer if you like. But do you ever hear from your singers what it is they enjoy, why it is they enjoy singing with you? Particularly, you know, if you've got people who used to sing, come back, or who have been singing for a long time and stay, that is particularly that latter one, that always seems to be a great endorsement of somebody's leadership.
Well, I'm not sure if it's the music, if it's me. I'd like to think at some time it's me, but I know that it isn't that all the time. But I think there's a chemistry between the people themselves, the music they're singing, my experience with the music and my experience with the singers, knowing them a long time. I don't think it's any one factor. I have some people that are in this choir in Opus that have just graduated in the last year or two or three from Millikan and who have sung in the Millikan choir ensembles, which are terrific. And they want to come sing, and I just tell them, you know, this is not the Millikan Choir. It might be the Millikan Choir Social Security version of it, you know. But they said, we want to sing. We just love to sing in the choir, and we like this choir. We like the people. We like the music you do. It's just another way to express themselves as a singer. So, you know, the people I've had as high school students loved it then, and hopefully I was able to instill enough love for music that that they would come back and sing. And I'm very pleased with that. It's nothing more rewarding than to look out and direct a choir where you've known some of these people for a long time and know that you still have some kind of impact with them.
Well, and I think you probably put your finger on another reason that, that people do stay in choirs a lot more than orchestras, I'm guessing, that there is a social component to it that has got to be pretty important too. And maybe it's because, at least in part, singers make music with their bodies. I mean, literally, their bodies are their instruments. And so maybe that suggests a different sort of intimacy with other singers?
Well, that's true. And each voice brings its own timbre. And so, you know, you have, if you're hearing an orchestra, and I'm not an orchestra conductor, but I know that if I put 12 violins together, they're going to sound pretty much like violins, hopefully in a good unison sound, and we'll blend it. If I put 12 voices together in a mixed choir, I'm going to hear lots of different sounds, and hopefully you work to put them into some kind of ensemble-ness. But you hear this voice and you hear this voice. We sing several of our pieces in a mixed formation, not in sections, and the choir sound is different.
And just again, for the layperson who doesn't know what that means.
When I say sections, I'll put all my six tenors will sing in a group together in one section of the choir. All my basses, baritones will be in one area. But if I'm in mixed, I'll be putting them like into quartets, or as much of a quartet as possible. I have a bass standing next to a soprano, next to a tenor, next to an alto. So, for instance, several of our pieces, I'm in what we call three-row mixed. Each row is actually its own choir.
Hmm.
And or I could draw a line down the middle, and the left side is a choir, and the right side. So that's what kind of makes vocal music to me different, is the so many different timbres of the human voice.
I know that some singers really love singing in a mixed group like that, and some just hate it.
Yes.
And my sense anyway, because I was one that loved it, mm-hmm. is that, and tell me if you think this is fair or not, that the people who are better music readers like it better than those who maybe feel they need, you know, aren't as secure in their music reading or leadership, and so they want to lean on somebody a little bit who's in the same section?
Well, that's, I think, partially true, but I don't think it's just reading. I very seldom put my choir into a mixed formation until they know the music pretty well, quite well. It's the people that have the good ears that are more secure in their part. I have several people that would rather not stray away from the fellow tenor or the fellow alto that they are singing with. But I do that to stretch them a bit. And it's really quite good. And we have some that say, I'd love to sing everything in mixed. Well, not every piece is written to be that way. You can look at a score. There are several pieces that we're doing where the men are all singing together in three and four part for a section. Let's keep them together. One of those pieces is like Sing a Song of Sixpence of John Rutter.
Which is going to be on
tomorrow
night's concert.
Right. I've sung it in mixed. I've had them in mixed, and they're not very comfortable with it. So we're going to sing that in sections, and it'll be great.
Well, it occurs to me, that since you mentioned that, we haven't really talked about at all what's going to be on tomorrow night's concert. But before we do, I want to play another from the November concert,
okay.
which is sort of another pop song.
It is. It's Carole King.
Carly Simon.
No, I'm sorry. Carly.
I always get those. I used to get those mixed up, too.
I can't remember which one was married to James Taylor.
Carly Simon, I think, wasn't it?
Well, anyway, to make that circuitous, the choir, the man who arranged this is Craig Hella Johnson. And he's arranged a number of pieces that were pop pieces to make them very, very choral. This one is Let the River Run. Again, we have some student percussionists and Steve Shepherd. And it's really a fun piece to do.
Opus 24, directed by Milton Scott, from their fall concert last November at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Decatur. They're giving their spring concert tomorrow night at St. Patrick Catholic Church, their usual home in Decatur, and that concert tomorrow will start at 7:30. This is Live and Local. Called, actually, you just grabbed the CD from me.
Let the river run.
You can back announce it there.
Yes.
Music by Carly Simon, arranged by Craig Hella Johnson, and sung by Opus 24, the choral ensemble based in Decatur. Milton Scott, their director, featured percussionists from Millikan University and the community, and pianist Beth Creighton from their concert last November 27th. And they're giving their next concert tomorrow night at 7:30. Details about that concert in just a moment from Milt Scott, who's my guest on Live and Local here today. WILO's programs are made possible with support from Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, announcing the 2013-14 season featuring El Nora, the Guitar Festival, Chicago Symphony Orchestra, Diavolo, Nathan and Julie Gunn and Friends, Joshua Redman Quartet, and more. And that might be Diavolo, by the way. Tickets are on sale Saturday, August 10th at 10 a.m. So fair warning. And we'll be talking with Krannert Center Director Mike Ross, just as an aside, coming up, I think, next week on one of the programs here on Live and Local. Here at WILL, our next film, The Revolutionary Optimists, will be about children in Calcutta's slums. And the film uses street theater, puppetry, and dance as their weapons, or I should say children. The children use street theater, puppetry, and dance as their weapons. They've cut their neighborhood's malaria and diarrhea rates in half, turned former garbage dumps into playing fields. It's the power of youth displayed as they use their energy to change the poor conditions in the brick fields where many of them are employed. Join us for the free public screening at the Maine Champaign Public Library, Tuesday, May 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m., that is tomorrow evening, in conflict with the Opus 24 concert.
So, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry about that. But that happens to be, we don't, not everybody consults schedules. Of course, that's happening here in Champaign, and that's in Decatur. And I imagine that both events will have a certain amount of cross-population, so to speak. Milt, I'm looking at the program for tomorrow night's concert.
Yes.
And as you commonly do, you've got things in sets of three, or,
I do.
Or rather three sets.
Yes, I have three sets. And I just want to mention a couple of things about a couple of the texts that we are singing. We are involving some children from the Millikan Youth Choir in a song called Even When God Is Silent. It's by a composer from Texas, Deborah Scroggins, who sings in Craig Hella Johnson's choir. And this is a text which was translated from fragments of Hebrew found on a cellar wall in Cologne, Germany. It's thought to be from the hand of a Jewish child hiding from the Nazis during the Holocaust. And it's really a very wonderful piece. It's a double choir plus the children. One choir sings a setting of Psalm 47, Psalm 27, and then an original text, and then this Even When God Is Silent. It's very, very cool to have the children sing what the children may have written. Another set of texts is by a gentleman called Wendell Berry. He's a writer. And they're called The Great Trees. And they're set by Gwyneth Walker. And they're relatively new. One is with clarinet and piano. The other is just piano. Those are going to be a really majestic, very nice setting about trees, but not just little trees, just about trees and life and growth and the cathedrals of the mind that the trees do. Then just for fun, too, we're doing five Shaker texts, Shaker tunes by Gwyneth Walker. And we sing from the balcony. We sing the text, a little tune, and then the brass quintet has a variation on it. And they play down below in front of the audience. So it's sort of back and forth, and they're really fun to do.
Is it often that you will sort of double up on composers where, you know, you're doing one set of Gwyneth Walker's pieces? I've met her, by the way, interesting person, in set one, and then after intermission, set three, doing this other set?
Well, sometimes I will do that. Sometimes I'll find somebody that, a composer of some works, I'll say, you know, this year I'm going to feature more of this particular one. I found one for next year already that I'm thinking about doing. That's Ole Geo from Norway, just a terrific composer. And in this case, the Gwyneth Walker pieces I found earlier, and then I wanted to do brass with this particular choir. And I thought, well, I've done these Shaker tunes before, and I think I'll try them again. So it just happens we have a little extra Gwyneth Walker. I've also met Gwyneth. She came and worked with our choir for several days. And you're right, she's an interesting person, but she writes some very, very good music. And the Great Trees, as this set is, there are five songs, we're just doing two, are very good.
And the rest of the program, I guess, maybe a little bit more typical mix for many choirs, where you'll do some Baroque music, you'll do some spirituals.
And right, we're doing some American tunes as well. The Water Is Wide. We're doing Gabriel's Oboe. It's one of those pieces that, oh, I've heard that melody before, but I never knew what it was. And maybe the next time I come on, I'll play it, and people can identify it. They go, oh, that's the name of that.
Well, I mean, isn't this Ennio Morricone? Isn't he best known as a film composer?
Yeah, he's done some films.
I don't know what films. Do you know?
I have no idea.
It's not a test.
Sorry, I didn't do my studying on that.
No.
And then a spiritual, Don't Let Nobody Turn You Around, and Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
And you mentioned earlier this John Rutter setting of this folk song, Sing-a-Song.
Yeah.
Or children's song, Sing-a-Song.
Yeah, it's actually from two songs from childhood lyrics. It includes Monday's Child, but we're just doing the Sing a Song of Sixpence.
On your website, and I'll remind listeners that I'm talking with Milton Scott, who's director of Opus 24, the choral group who are having a concert tomorrow night at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur, 7:30 start for that. On the website for the group, You have a little note about the concert suggesting that you took a certain amount of inspiration from a convention of the American Choral Directors Association you had recently been to, at least at the point wherever you wrote this note. And you came back with a certain amount of, I'm going to quote you here, "I seem to have a renewed commitment to produce the best music I can." And what went on at that particular convention that...
Well, conventions...
Because conventions don't always do that. They can wear you out,
conventions are a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting there in the audience as a community choir director, and, you know, you have submitted, every year you've submitted a CD and an application, and you're never accepted. And then you realize, well, there's choirs that are called community choirs that are not like ours, like the Indianapolis Symphony Chorus is a community choir, and they're really good. And
that's, which is to say they're not paid, or at least not necessarily.
My singers are not paid, but... You can have a paid community choir as well. And so it's very difficult. So I can go and I'll listen to a wonderful, wonderful choir and I'll go, wow, I wish we could sing like that. So there's sort of an instant depression. And then you go away and you say, you know, I love that piece they sang. I love the way those sopranos sang that. I maybe should try to do a little bit like this and like that. And so you come home with ideas. You come home with bags full of music. But my wife is very good at these conventions, so she'll put a little star or something besides a piece, and she'll say, we need to do this one. We need to do it. And I have found music. That's probably one of the best things is I renew or find new friends, like this composer Deborah Scroggins, who's did this Even When God Is Silent, as a new musical friend to me. And I'll also find some new literature and new ways to do something. Just talk with people about their choirs, whether they're college, high school, little kids. It doesn't matter. I just come home with some kind of renewed things. However, I will say that one of my students once, when I went to Illinois Allstate, which I'd go to every year in Peoria, the Allstate Convention, he said, I know, Mr. Scott, what's going to happen. You're going to go and you're going to find some really new fun warm-up for us to do. And about 2.5 weeks later, we're going to go back and do what we've been doing all year. I said, yeah, but those will be great 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do, I think, fall back on things that we're ultimately comfortable with.
Right.
Or you find something that you is new and exciting, and maybe you find that it wasn't as effective as you thought it might be.
Right, right.
But also, I imagine, too, when you said you go and initially you have a depression maybe from hearing some super fine choir do something, and they'll probably do, you might hear a song you like that you think would be great to do. They do it so well, and you think, well, my group could never do this. And then you think about it a little harder and think, well, maybe they could do
this. Yeah, and it would be worth the effort to try. You know, so that's how I come back.
Do you ever come back with, you know, having heard some ensemble, whether it's one that you're just blown away by, or maybe it's another group that, you know, is more or less on a par with yours, that you think you like what they did, and you decide that they have a sound or some aspect of their singing that you would like to try on your choir, or see what you can do with your choir, perhaps independent of a particular piece of music.
Right. One of those examples would be when you hear a choir do early American music, choral music of Billings Lee and some of the shape note tunes or New England things, that they've completely changed the tone, the whole timbre of this into this sort of this flatter, not flattened pitch, but a flatter, brighter tone with some stomping and clapping to go with it. And you say, yeah, I've done that tune, but I've never thought about doing it that way, and then experimenting with it. Or some of the tunes that you've heard that involve high overtones and whistling and some novelty things perhaps, but still say, well, that was kind of cool. But then when you hear a spiritual done so well, you go, wow, it's been a long time since I've done that piece. I need to do that again. So you just take different things away from a convention like that. And that's what kind of keeps me going.
And then I imagine when you have a different technique or a different way of singing than you've done, you might, since you're in a convention setting, you might go seek out that particular director, say, how did you do this? How did you get your choir to make this sound?
Right. And most of the time those directors are available, and I'm not shy. I do go up and introduce myself and say, this is what I've got. And sometimes those directors will say, you know what? This sounds like maybe this particular piece would be good for your choir, and would give that to me. And you can go find it at the hundreds of vendors that are there and say,
sure,
I heard that choir do that. I'd like a copy of that.
Well, if you would like to hear Opus 24 sing live, tomorrow is your chance. They're giving their annual spring concert at St. Patrick Catholic Church at 407 East El Dorado Street in Decatur, and not a very expensive concert. Milton Scott is their conductor, and there's a variety of instrumentalists involved in that concert, as well as a children's ensemble from the Milliken Youth Choir. And it's a nicely balanced program. You can get your tickets from the Decatur Area Arts Council at Thompson Kramer Music in Decatur, or at any of these churches: Central Christian Church, First Lutheran, First Presbyterian, First United Methodist, Grace United Methodist, St. James Catholic, or St. Patrick Catholic. Again, all of those are in Decatur. And it is always a pleasure to have Milton Scott here on Live and Local with us. Thanks very much for coming over.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
And we're going to go out with another song from their spring concert of 2008. And this is music that I have, this is a composer I've mostly heard, of whose band music I have generally heard. His name is Frank Tekeli, and this is called Earth Song. Again, Opus 24, directed by Milton Scott. the applause for the Decatur Choral Society Ensemble called Opus 24, directed by Milton Scott, music by Frank Ticheli, that's spelled T-I-C-H-E-L-I, called Earth Song, from their 2008 Spring Concert. Their 2013 Spring Concert is tomorrow night at 7:30 at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur.
For nearly 30 years, Frontline, the award-winning PBS public affairs series, has engaged viewers through incisive documentaries covering the scope and complexity of the human, social, and political experience. Winner of multiple Peabody Awards and the Pulitzer Prize for Public Service, the producers and filmmakers at Frontline tackle tough, controversial, and complex stories and bring you engaging reporting that fully explores and illuminates the critical issues of our time. Be sure to watch Frontline Tuesday nights at 9 on WILL-TV.
And we appreciate your listening to Live and Local today. I'll be back with another show tomorrow. We'll be sharing CDs from local performers and others. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois.